Camel boots on my feet, bow in my hand, walking in the early dawn.
Hornady presents American Roots Outdoors Radio with Alex Rutledge and his friends. I'm Redbone Mike Crace. Alex joins us. Wayne Locke is in the studio. It's another week's program. And man, you know what this means is we're another week closer to deer season.
Yes, we are. What do you think about that, Wayne Locke?
It can't come fast enough, let me tell you. I'm tired of being cooped up, and it'll be nice to be able to get back out there in the woods.
Yes, sir. Well, you know, we got this warm weather in here, everybody, and the heat indexes are tremendous right now. And that being said, as we start talking about deer, I'm seeing some does, and I saw a buck the other day, and he wasn't fully developed, of course, but still know it. And the deer appear to be healthy, the deer that I'm seeing right now.
Yeah, I think so, and I've been seeing a lot. Matter of fact, the other day, Miss Nina, we were coming into town and saw about four or five cross the road, and she said, how come we're seeing so many deer right now? And I had to explain, of course, that it's because most of the food in the woods is gone. And this is really a tough time for deer, Alex. We talk about this every year. A lot of their natural food is kind of dwindling away, and also, they're looking for water because it is so hot, and they're trying to find water. But it's a really important thing for deer hunters. If you want to keep your deer around, you need to be feeding them.
And water. This heat, they're hitting our water holes that we have on our property big time. I mean, they're just footprints all around it. You know, they're just going in there and cooling off. And we got temps coming up to 101 degrees, I think, next week.
Yeah, going to be real hot.
You know, the deer, when you say they're out of food source, they eat lots of browse, red bone, mm-hmm. right now. And a lot of clover, if there's clovers, and they're really eating the green stuff right now. The acorns are, you know, that's not their focus right now. Like you said, most of it's gone.
Mm-hmm.
But things that we can do as landowners and wildlife managers is to plant these food plots, make watering holes if you don't have watering holes on your properties. But it's very crucial right now that they have plenty of water. And I've got like five ponds on my property.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, lots of water and something good to eat. All right, and speaking of deer hunting, Alex, I know you got several things here in this segment we'll talk about. Folks, if you haven't done it yet, the Missouri Deer and Turkey Hunting Guides are out in the stores, or should be. And you need to go check those because there have been some changes for the upcoming deer season. And you need to be aware because, you know, if you don't know about the changes, you get out there and you violate that law, not knowing about it is not an excuse. So I encourage people to get up, get out and get to those stores and pick up those booklets and read through them. Even now is a good time to do that, to educate yourself on what you can expect come deer season, because there have been a number of changes.
Yeah, and I've never met a game warden that right before he writes a ticket that for a law you violated and you're like, well, sir, I didn't know. I've never heard one say, oh, well, you were ignorant. Oh, you never mind then. You're good. Yeah, please get up to date on the new rules. There's some changes in there.
All right, so Alex.
That's great advice, Redbone. And that being said, we've got a great, great show lined up for everybody that's listening across the world of the country. We're going to talk on fishing a little bit here in this first segment. I'm going to make an announcement. On the 25th, we have the King of the River coming up on the current river. And I was blessed and fortunate enough to win it last year. And I got to pre-fish yesterday evening after I come in from a road trip with Tim Rowland, with my new job with Visa Industrial Professionals. We done some site visits up by St. Louis at St. Genevieve. And for all of our listeners out there, if any of you guys that listen and you do millwright work or work at a plant, whether it's an industrial plant, we go in and we repair conveyor systems, kilns, coolers, vertical mills, crushers. We do all kinds of work. We can build plants from ground up. I just want to mention that. So if anybody's listening and you want us to come visit your plant, reach out to Beezer at VIP.com. And you can get a hold of us to come and visit your plant if you're listening. So that being said, tournament coming up, and we've got a great guest lined up for this week, Redbone and Wayne.
Yeah, we do. We got a guy that a lot of folks are going to recognize just when you say the name, because he had a number of hits. And just let me say one. How about a song called You Won't Ever Be Lonely? It was his biggest hit back about 1998, I believe, when that song came out. And, of course, Alex, we're talking about?
Andy Griggs, country music recording artist. This guy is an outdoorsman, and he is very passionate about his faith. Tim and I got to visit here two evenings ago and talk about the show and what we're going to talk about. And I'll tell you what, this man is very passionate about his faith.
Well, that's cool. So, Alex, you mentioned the fishing tournament. How's the fishing going right now? Because I know on the lakes, the fish have gone down to 60 to 90 feet of water. And you can fish on the top water, right at daybreak and right, just right after dark. But other than that, you got to get some heavy metal down there to get down there deep to them. And the surface temperature on the lakes right now is running about 86 degrees.
Wow.
Well, so those fish have gone down.
The river are deep in the middle of the day, and they move out from cover if it's deep water and feed in the shallow back and forth. Especially if there's cloud cover, they will get out and feed away from that, what I call a safe house, which is a log jam, rock structure, whatever. But if it's cloudy, they seem to stay out longer in the shallower water. But if it's the bright sun, they like to go deep in the river. So the baits that are working right now, variety, topwater baits are working, down baits. And the thing is, you just got to figure out where they're at right now on the rivers.
Yeah, and I guess you find that they'll kind of be schooled up in those big holes, won't they? There'll be a bunch of them. When you find one, you're liable to find a bunch.
Exactly. Yeah. They're schooled up right now, believe it or not, on the river. So when you catch one, you may see two or three follow that fish in. Last night I pre-fished, and I actually had some issues with my trolling motor. I had to take my trolling motor head off because something happened to the arrow. Indicator on my trolling motor, and I had to use a screwdriver to pull the head off and try to line it back up. I still got to tune it in, but anyway, I got to fish about an hour and a half or so, 2 hours, and I probably caught 15 bass, and I would have had 8.5-9 pounds in those hour and a half, 2 hours. But I caught three fish that was 2 pounds and better, and I saw three or four fish, it was over 3 to 4 pounds. So I've got a good game plan for the upcoming tournament.
Okay, yeah. So exactly where was that where you saw those 3 pounders and above?
I'm not going to tell you.
You catching them on those new jewel baits you got in the mail?
They're not tricking me. I want to win that King of the River again.
All right.
Jack's won it three times. Derek Hampton's won it twice. Billy Smith, there's a list of guys that's won it that's excellent fishermen. So the competition's very, very, very tough.
Yep.
I'm not sharing anything.
Okay.
Well, if you want, you could just whisper what color, lure it was. Nobody's listening. Just whisper it.
No. Not going to do that.
Oh, he's not falling for it. Not falling for it.
All right. Well, I'll tell you what we are going to fall for. We're going to fall for getting Andy Griggs on the line here in just a few moments. Folks, don't go away. Andy Griggs is going to join us right here on American Roots Outdoors right after this timeout.
Hey, everybody. This is Michael Watting with Bone Collector, and you're listening to my buddy Alex Rutledge on American Roots Outdoors, man.
I've been on a big board for a while. I can load him in the back of my truck. We can take it to a holler.
Hornady presents American Roots Outdoors Radio with Alex Rutledge. I'm the Red Bull Mike Crace. Wayne Locke is with us in the studio. Alex is on the line, and Alex has got our guest with him. Alex, who have you got with you today?
We've got country music recording artist Andy Griggs. And if you're a country music fan, you know who this guy is. This guy is famous for many songs. And one of my favorite songs that he does is Heaven. I love that song. What is your favorite, Redbone?
Oh, my favorite would be, I'm kind of old school country. I like You Won't Ever Be Lonely. I mean, that's just one of my favorites.
And
I'll Go Crazy is another one. And they were, hits right there back to back. So, yeah, I'm kind of old school.
I'd have to lean towards that or the other one. What was it? My Kind of Beautiful. That was one of my wife's favorites.
Oh, I forgot about
that. Well, boys, y'all just let me know how much of the amount of a check I owe y'all. Well, you're on this show because of who you are, brother. You know, I had the honor to meet you several years ago, and I've always been a huge fan of yours. And come to find out that you're not going to believe how the first time that, I actually knew you before that, but when they told me you're a coon hunter, I didn't know you hunted raccoons. And the Oochman boys down in northern Arkansas, southern Missouri said, yeah, Andy Griggs, a country singer, come in and bought one of our blue ticks. And I thought, that's no way. And, is that true, Andy? You went down and bought a blue tick off them boys?
Yeah, man, you know, I've always been a my uncle, he ran different kinds of hounds, but blues was my favorite that he ran. So, you know, later in life in Tennessee, I'm from Louisiana, but, you know, later in life in Tennessee and Nashville, you know, I bought a blue tick and started getting into them and started getting back into coon hunting like when I was a kid. And one of the my favorite lines, you know, because you got magazines and the blue book for all of your famous dogs, you know, it's one of my favorite lines. As far as looks and everything else was the Oochmans, and that's a whole lot of brothers that came up out of, you know, I guess a dad and some uncles and this and that. That line goes way back, but they're in Missouri. I said the heck with it one day. I called them up and went and bought a big male because I had a special, real special female that I still haven't matched since. I had that female dog that. That was just true, 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 true. When I get to heaven, I'm going to have that dog. I named her Delilah. So, and I had a Samson, and I had several other dogs, but I wanted an Oochman to breed to her so I could start my own line. Yeah. So I started. So I went to Missouri and bought an Oochman blue tick hound, and bred to her. So yeah, I started my own line called Lovesick Blues.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, that was great times. And then when I lost her, when I lost that female, it just, you know how it is, coon hunting. When you lose your best dog, you just get the wind knocked out of you. So I just kind of slowly got out of it and started selling dogs. I've been about 10 years without a coon dog.
Well, after today,
now, Alex, you're making me want to get back into it now.
Hey, we need to. Hey, you'll fit right up here at home with all of us here. And we've got a lot of listeners that are coon hunters and coyote hunters and even deer dog runners in out East Virginia, et cetera. But, Andy, we just want to thank you for being on the show. And as you can see, listeners, and you're hearing, this guy is real country, man. He don't just talk about it. He lives it. He hunts and fishes and everything. I want to ask you a question. This is what makes our show really unique. Andy Griggs, where was you born?
I was born in West Monroe, or actually Monroe, Louisiana. That's my hometown. The river separates the two, West Monroe and Monroe. That's in North Louisiana, and not too far from Faraday, Louisiana. And from, you know, Faraday is where Jerry Lee and Jimmy Swaggart and Mickey Gilley's from. And we got Whale Pierce is from West Monroe, Louisiana. So there's quite a bit of music that has hit global from that little bitty pocket. Yeah, it sure is.
Must be something in the water down there.
Yeah, it must be. But most people leave. They don't go there. They leave.
Yeah, everybody's always from West Monroe, Louisiana. Nobody is ever in West Monroe, Louisiana.
Yeah, nobody. No, I don't really hear a lot of, hey, I'm moving to Monroe or West Monroe.
All right,
another question for you here. I'm going to kind of walk you through this. So you was born there in Louisiana. Now, where did you attend school, and did you play sports in school?
Well, yeah, that was my big thing. You know, I wasn't into music. My brother was into music. And, you know, I'll get to him in a little while, but he is the reason for my music. But, I was wanting to either be a professional sports player or a professional hunter. I had the heart, just didn't have the body to go play college ball. But, you know, I had the hopes and dreams, just like most every other high school kid. I was, you know, I was a good baseball player, good football player. And we actually won national or state championship when I was a senior.
Hmm.
So wow. Still got that ring at Mama's. You know, Mama still lives in Monroe. So when I go there and go to my old room, you know, I open up all my drawers, and sure enough, there's still my state football championship ring. Yeah.
Now, how cool is that?
I'm going to ask you a question. He's going to ask you, what position did you play?
Exactly.
Defensive end on as far as football or baseball?
Football.
Football and baseball.
Football defensive end was my thing, man. I was my hero was Howie Long, and I tried to hit and run like Howie Long. Remember Howie Long for the Oakland Raiders?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah.
That was my Hank Williams. With Howie. Yeah, I was a defensive end and got what do you call it? The state
all state?
All state. Yeah, made all state. I think second team. I don't think I made first team. And second team all state defensive end. Yeah. I always thought I'd be Howie Long and play NFL ball, but problem is Howie was a big guy, and I quit growing. He didn't have it in me.
And Howie looks like he never aged either.
Oh, Howie looks great. And his kids look, you know, man, did y'all see last season where both of his sons played against each other? And,
yeah.
You know, it was just, what a great story Howie is, yeah.
Can you imagine how much food they must have at their Thanksgiving dinner?
Oh, my gosh. I bet you they go through 3 turkeys and 10 chickens. I bet they do. Oh, my Lord.
I bet they have one of those turducken things that they always have on there with the duck stuffed inside the turkey.
Yeah, turducken, yeah. That's like the Watt brothers.
Yeah.
You know, you got 2 of them playing for the Steelers now.
Yeah.
And then you got TJ. I mean, that's got to be a huge Thanksgiving dinner for them, too.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah, sure, sure.
All right, folks.
Yeah, and that's sons. So we're not even talking about, I don't even know if they have daughters or not, but if they have daughters, I bet you one of Howie Long's daughters could beat our rear end. Wayne, I bet you she could throw you across the room.
With probably no problem either.
Yeah.
All right, folks, we're talking with Andy Griggs here on American Roots Outdoors with Alex Rutledge and his friends. We got to take a break, and we'll be back with more right after this.
Right here, right now, this is Chancey Walters. Listening to American Roots Outdoors with Alex Rutledge, the Ozark herd bull.
Up a big old hill, year after year, got my hunting gear.
Hornady presents American Roots Outdoors Radio with Alex Rutledge and his friends. I'm the Red Bull Mike Crace. We've got Alex on the line. We've got Wayne in the studio. We've got Andy Griggs on the line. And yes, that Andy Griggs. You remember Andy of the early 2000s, up until about, 2013 or so, a string of hits in the country music world. And we're kind of talking about Andy when he was a kid. We were talking about him playing football. And Andy, I know you had some tragedy in your young life. Do you mind telling us a little bit about that?
Well, yeah. You know, it tragedy means it's just as important as victories. You know, valleys makes a guy or a girl. Valleys makes you just as much as mountaintops.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. It takes us to where we're at. Yeah, I lost my father, and he was the praise and worship leader at my church in West Monroe. And I was 10 years old then. And so he was big into music. So music was big into my house. And my brother, I had an older brother, and he was he took after daddy and played music. And I didn't, like I told you before, I was more into killing, catching, and playing sports, you know?
Yeah.
So I kind of left that baton to him. I never picked up a guitar or sang. And he had a band, my brother Mason. He had a band as we got older. And, yeah, we were, you know, that was a lot of people asked if we were twins.
Oh, wow.
And sometimes in my mind, we were twins, even though we weren't. It was a 3.5-year difference. But, yeah, that Mason was the other half of me, and I was the other half of him. So, Mason died suddenly of a heart condition. But he had always had a heart condition. But, He went to Glory and when I was 18, I guess, yeah, in December, in December of when I was 18 years old. And wow. What got me to music was I had a hard time grieving. I don't really know how to explain it, except that as far as my needs being met and me being ministered to, I guess that's the word I'm looking for. Is, you know, there's a good grieving and a bad grieving. If you want to do it on your own, if you want to grieve on your own, you don't get anywhere. And we all are victims of it. But there's a good grieving, and that's with our Heavenly Father, and He leads you. I think our Heavenly Father grieves with us. We saw Jesus grieve. Amen. With Mary and Martha, you know, man, he grieved, and even though he wasn't grieving for Lazarus, he was grieving with Mary. He was ministering to Mary and Martha, because little did they know he was fixing to raise him from the dead. But so we know that our Heavenly Father grieves with us, so and ministers to us, and it was through my brother's guitar that I started my good grieving process. And when that happened, that became the biggest and greatest thing in my life, was music. And so when I jumped into the swimming pool, I jumped into the deep end. When I finally put on swimming shorts and jumped into the water, I jumped into the deep end. I didn't choose music. Music chose me.
Yeah, so you mentioned it was because of your brother's guitar. What happened at that point?
Well, I started picking up his guitar and learning his songs that he wrote. And I had a buddy of his come by and show me some chords. And so he would come by once a week and show me how to play a D chord, show me how to play a G chord, you know, that kind of simple stuff like that. But I was finding myself staying up all night long. And I was in college, you know. I was going after what my daddy was. He was a probation parole officer. So I was trying to get a degree in law enforcement, and not in law enforcement, but whatever you call it, anyway.
Yeah, criminal justice or something. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, criminal justice. There you go. Shows you how big. Shows you how much thought I put into it. Yes, criminal justice, and I was going to be a federal probation parole officer. That was my plan in life.
Wow.
And then music took control, and all of that was a big the beauty and the bitterness of music. It's a chalkboard eraser, and you can cuss it as much as you can love it, because it erases. It's erased for different people. It's erased families. It's erased money. It's erased careers. It starts chalking up a different dream. It erases a lot of things, because when it takes over just like every other dream. And I'm not, you know, I'm sure sports is like that. We're talking about Howie Long, and I'm sure those guys were like that. But it erases everything else around you at times. So you have to keep a harness on it. I've had to learn that. But I quit going to college.
Wow.
I packed my stuff up, packed my brother's guitar, and I moved to Nashville just on a prayer and a. Everybody thought I was crazy, and I was crazy. It does take you to be crazy. It does. If you're not crazy, you can't go to Nashville. It takes a crazy guy or girl to chase a dream.
So. It looks like God had a different plan for you. I mean, I'm sure you would have touched people and helped people out in a criminal justice career, but I'm sure you've touched way many more people with your songs over the years here in country music. That's for sure.
That's what I set out to do. Yeah, I wanted to touch people the way that I was touched. And the first person that touched me was my brother's music, you know. And then I started finding myself playing other artists' songs. You know, before long, I wasn't just playing Mason songs. I found myself playing a Buck Owens song or a Merle Haggard song, you know. And it went from there. So yeah, I wanted to touch somebody somewhere the way that I've been touched by music, and that is the greatest reward. It's not mailbox money. It's not a tour bus. It's not looking out over a great, great big crowd. If that is your dream, then that's plastic. That is one dimension, and it's plastic. To me, what is three dimensions deep or four dimensions deep is when you touch someone the way that you've been touched. And I've had that dream happen to me over and over and over. I'm a lucky man, very lucky man.
Andy, we're talking with Andy Griggs. And Andy, what was the big break? I mean, what was the big break that took Andy Griggs from, you know, maybe playing down at the honky tonks in downtown Nashville to getting you in the studio and going nationwide?
Well, I never played the honky tonks. Believe it or not, okay. I played churches and bluegrass festivals.
Oh, wow.
I was a member of the Sullivans. The Sullivans out of Alabama, Jerry and Tammy Sullivan. And so it was churches and bluegrass festivals. I'd never played a honky-tonk. As a matter of fact, I already had a number one hit on my hands before I ever played a honky-tonk, and it was in Raleigh, North Carolina. Raleigh, North Carolina was my first honky-tonk to ever play, and You'll Never Be Lonely was the number one hit that week.
Wow.
Wow, that's
so
fantastic.
Yeah, it was festivals. So we played at a church in Nashville, Tennessee, and some guy, they let, you know, and I was just a harmony singer. And some guy, they let me sing, you know, I would sing one or two songs lead-wise during the Sullivan show. And a guy gave me a card and said, if you're ever thinking about doing something, let me know. I love your voice. So, you know, a couple of weeks later, I kept staring at that card. I'd stare at that card every night. I'd hold that business card and lay in bed and stare at it. And so about 2 weeks later, I called him and left him a message, and he left me a message back saying, yeah, I'm definitely interested. Why don't you come see me in Nashville? So, and I was still living in Louisiana. So I drove by myself, just drove up there and stayed at the Shoney's Hotel and went and sang a demo for him. And it went from there, but you know, it seems like the wheels turn slow, but they don't. And you look back at it, the wheels turn very fast. They really do. It just they turn slow while you're living in it. But before long, I'd moved there. And Mindy McCready, do y'all remember Mindy McCready?
Absolutely, yes.
Yeah, Mindy was a close friend of, you know, she was actually the girlfriend of the producer of this demo that I was doing. And so she gets a record deal, and then a couple, you know, she has a couple of hits, and before I could step into the door, and she was actually helping her and her boyfriend, who was the producer, David Malloy at the time. So yeah, she kind of opened up the door, and she had everybody at RCA knowing about me before I even knew that they did. So by the time I walked through RCA's doors to play them a song, Mindy had been playing my stuff, you know, for them for 4 to 6 months, yeah.
Wow, it's fantastic. And of course, an Arkansas girl, I believe, Mindy McCready. All right, folks, you're
Florida.
Listening. Florida, that's right, Florida. And she spent some time in Arkansas. Anyway, you're listening to American Roots Outdoors Radio. We're going to be back with more with Andy Griggs. We're going to talk about, Alex is going to talk more about the hunting side of Andy Griggs when we come back.
Hi, everybody. This is Aaron Tippin, and you're listening to my old buddy, Alex Rutledge, with American Roots Outdoors. And good friends.
Passed on down, planted deep in the ground around your heart, so you never gotta worry what the wind might do. American Roots.
Hornady presents. Welcome back to American Roots Outdoors with Alex Rutledge. Alex is on the phone. I got Mike Creason studio here with me, and our special guest, a country music artist, Andy Griggs. Andy, one of the things that kind of caught my ear is when you said that one of your goals that you had when, you know, you got into the country music and that is that you wanted to touch people. It wasn't about the buses and all that kind of stuff. You just wanted to reach into people's hearts and touch them. One of the things that I was lucky enough to see you during your Muds and Suds tour, and my wife and that was with me. We had a couple of our little kids at the time. They were little at the time, but they when the audience started singing the song, and it almost seemed like they took over that song, In Heaven, you know, or If Heaven. The look, because we were up in towards the front, the look on your expression and your face when you saw the audience kind of take over that song, that's got to mean a lot to you when they do that, doesn't it?
It does. That's exactly what I'm talking about. You know, If Heaven is one of those songs that's why you go crazy.
Yeah,
and you quit a good job. Mm-hmm. And you kiss your family, your mama goodbye, you kiss your hometown goodbye, and you move to Nashville. You do that for moments like that. Yeah, that's exactly right. So, yeah, If Heaven is probably, you know, man, I've got some very, very, very special, you know, things in my life. And they're like children. I would say they're like wives, but no, they're like children. You know, they're you can't really say which one you prefer over the other. But If Heaven is a very, very special song that is played over and over. I can't tell you how many funeral services that I've sang that to. And I was, when you're on stage and you start singing a song that breaks your heart in half every time you're singing it, and that big crowd out there starts singing along with you, and then you see some watery eyes out there, and that happens every time you see somebody who just lost someone or whatever, and you can pick them out of the crowd. You'll look around there and you'll see a guy that looks as tough as leather, and he's out there crying, trying to sing along with you.
Right.
Yeah, that's why you moved to Nashville. That's why you moved there. Yeah. Mm.
All right, Alex, I know you want to talk to Andy about hunting and fishing and doing all those things. So just go ahead.
Okay. Well, Andy, you know, I'll never forget you and I was doing the World Turkey Hunt together about 4 or 5 years ago. And you was there at the function, and you was out of dip. And I said, we'll go down. There's a gas station down there. And I remember taking you down there. We went down there and got us dip together. And I thought, this old boy right here, I'm getting to hang out with Andy Griggs. And this guy's a serious turkey hunter. I want to become real friends with this guy. And I thank God for our friendship, Andy. And I really, really appreciate what you stand for in your music and what you do. And that's the cool thing about American Roots and our show. It's all about faith, family, friends, our outdoors, and our constitutional rights. And everybody knows Andy Griggs is a true, true patriot when it comes to America. And it shows in your songs. And your faith is what really has drawn me towards you as a friend. And I just want to say I appreciate our friendship. And appreciate you being on this show, but hunting. Tell us about your hunting experience. Who got you into hunting? I know Ben Boyd. Yeah, tell us about that.
Yeah, Alex, man, I appreciate the compliments, man. Yeah, me and you go way back. You're sitting there talking. I'm trying to think of how long how many years I've known you. Me and you go back quite a ways, and it was hunting. You know, it's always been one hunting guy to another. You know, that's music has never bonded me and you. Hunting has bonded me and you always. What got me into hunting? Well, the same thing that got you into hunting. And you know, it's our granddads, it's our dads, it's that first squirrel. Do you remember killing your first squirrel and just smelling it? That, you know, a squirrel has one certain smell, and you never forget that smell. You know, that was one of the, I will never forget sitting down and shooting with an old 410, shooting my first squirrel and having, you know, being so excited. My daddy was with me and I sat there with that squirrel in my hand. And of course, you know, later on we'd cut the squirrel's tail and I would have that squirrel's tail for 10 forever. That, you know, but you know, the smell of it just, you know, that just brings us in. And I tell you something else, Alex. My daddy died before I killed my first deer. Now, I missed a lot of deer. I missed a lot of deer. And heck, Alex, I still do.
So do I.
But you know what? My daddy was gone, and actually my mama had just remarried. And he took me out to a game reserve out in Monroe, Louisiana. And I was out there by myself sitting on a log. And I had a 308 that and in my lap, and some unlucky doe was walking through. God bless her heart. Man, that was her unlucky day, because that was my first deer when I shot her. Now, this is the most special moment I've ever had in the woods, and I was by myself. I was 15 years old when I killed my first deer. When I shot her, she went down, and I went over there, and I slid like it's sliding to home base, home plate. Man, I slid up to her in mud, and I grabbed her, and I smelt her like I did when I was 5 years old killing my first squirrel. I smelt her just like I would a squirrel. and I started crying. And I remember praying out loud, looking up, holding her neck, praying out loud. Wow. Father, let Daddy see this.
Yeah.
Father, would you please, if there's ever one moment that you can let Daddy see me, I want it to be this. And later on, you know, I was talking to you about football. I remember at national championship or state championship when we won the game, I remember thinking, I want Daddy to see this. And then I thought, no, if it was only one, I'd rather him see me with that doe.
Wow.
With my first deer. And I held that. It sounds crazy, but in those old Washita Parish woods, I held that deer and I cried, hoping that my daddy would be able to see me with my first deer.
Well, and I know you said you were in the woods alone, but I can guarantee you were not alone that day.
That's right. That's exactly right. Absolutely. Absolutely.
You see now why Andy Griggs is such a special person, listeners. This guy is so passionate about life, so passionate about the outdoors, so passionate about his family. Man, this is touching. I'm sitting here right now in my office on my lunch break with tears in my eyes, Andy.
Alex.
I'm serious. I can relate to that because I lost my dad. And people that don't hunt just don't understand. It's not about really the killing of an animal. It's so spiritual. Because God gave us that animal, and it's going to be bountiful to us to consume that animal. It's a true blessing to take part in God's creation. And in Genesis, it tells us that mankind take dominion of the fowl of the air and the fish of the sea and all living and walking creatures. And it's something passed down to you, you know,
yeah.
You and me.
It's more than going to Kroger and buying a piece of chicken, you know. Man, hunting is something handed down. And man, when I hunt, I feel my grandfather's. You know, when I hunt, it's a certain kind of church service. You know, it really is. And I just went out, and not just hunting, fishing too. I just went out on a offshore. We went out 100 miles out in the Gulf chasing that marlin, and we got a bite, and all of a sudden, my whole spirit just exploded in me, you know, and it's the passion of the outdoors is, I live for that. I told you that was my first dream, not music. Music was my brother's first dream, or my brother's dream, but outdoors has always been my first dream. And when I picked the guitar, make no mistake, Alex, when I picked my guitar up, I did not leave the outdoors behind. Outdoors is still my first love. It really is.
Oh, yeah, and you won the World Turkey Hunt one year, you and...
Well, everybody gets lucky here and there. I mean, man, you know, all of... I love the turkey hunt. And, man, it's embarrassing. This is embarrassing now. For the first time, I went a spring without killing it. Man, I didn't kill a turkey this whole spring. The corona, all that crap screwed us up. And, man... I was tempted. I got to be honest with you, and y'all don't judge me now. But I called in about 6 Jakes. I was really thinking about shooting a Jake, and I put I took the safety off and put the bead on a Jake's head, and I went, man, I ain't killed a Jake in years and years and years and years. I said, man, I can't start now just because I ain't killed a turkey. I want a turkey that bad. And I knew this was my last hunt. And those Jakes, you know how they are. Man, those Jakes wouldn't leave. They stood around and gave me 20 minutes. I thought, man, if I was ever going to shoot a Jake, it'd be now. But Alex, I could not pull myself to it. I didn't shoot it. But I was really about to shoot a Jake this year.
Hey, when a man's hungry, he's going to do what he's got to do.
Absolutely. Remember, now, you remember when in Acts, when Peter had the vision and the Lord said that he had the vision of wild, of birds coming down.
Yeah.
And the Lord told Peter, says, arise and eat. Kill and eat. Arise, kill and eat. Well, to me, that's birds coming off the roost.
But apparently not Jake's.
Yeah, but not Jake's. I'll tell you what, though, Alex. I guarantee Redbone, y'all listen to this. I'm telling you right now, next year, if next year's as screwed up as this year, I will kill a Jake. I mark my words, I'm going to kill a Jake.
And next year, you probably won't see a Jake.
Missouri, you won't have to shoot no Jake.
Yeah, or if nothing else, we can at least get it on video. All right, folks, that's going to have to wrap it up. We are out of time. And Wayne, tell people if they want to hear more from Andy Griggs, what they need to do.
All you got to do is join us on our podcast. And to listen to our podcast, just go to your favorite podcast carrier like Stitcher, iTunes, Pandora. We're on every single one now. But speaking of podcasts, we do need to draw real quickly for drawing for the book giveaway from KJ Houtman, Why Women Hunt. So we're going to do the drawing right now. Red Bone's reaching in
there
the hat.
There we go. That one right there.
And who do we have there, Red
Bone? We have Melanie Westbrook.
Melanie Westbrook, you just won an autographed copy of K.J. Houtman's book, Why Women Hunt. And Alex, you're going to appreciate this. Actually, Melanie Westbrook is from Australia. So
wow.
She's one of our listeners from Australia. She just won herself an autographed book. So thanks, everybody who entered. And we have another contest coming up next week. So be prepared for that.
All right, Alex, we need to wrap it up.
I, everybody, want to thank Andy for being on the show. And if you want to follow Andy, you can follow him on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook. Do you have a website also, Andy?
Yeah, the website's, I guess it's www.andygriggs.com. Alex, I reckon.
Andy, I asked you a quick question before we wrap it up. Do you think we can get a signed, autographed CD that we can give away on the bonus segment, possibly?
Yeah, absolutely. I'd love to send you one, sure. Why don't I send you one of my favorites is one of my acoustics called Naked. I'll send you a signed Naked one.
That would be awesome. Now, I want one for myself, and I know Redbone does too. We'll buy them and whatever we need to do. But
I'm charging your butt. Yeah. Your listener can get one for free, but Alex, I'm charging you.
Yeah, charge them twice as much to cover the free one.
Hey, everybody. Well, thank you for listening. Thank you, Redbone Mike Craze. Thank you, Wayne Locke. Thank you, Andy Griggs, country music recording artist, a man of faith, a man of passion for his brotherhood and the world. Remember, we have a saying here at American Roots, Redbone.
When your roots run deep and strong,
there's no reason to fear the wind.
So you never gotta worry what the wind might do. American Roots.
Thank you for joining us for today's American Roots Outdoors Radio with Alex Rutledge. You can find us on Facebook. Look us up on the World Wide Web at AmericanRootsOutdoors.com. We'll be back again next week on this great radio station.
Hornady presents Welcome to American Roots Outdoors. This is Wayne Locke. I got Mike Crace here with me, Alex on the phone, and a special guest is with us. If you're listening to this, that means you're on our podcast. We thank you for joining us on the podcast, and be sure to leave us a review. It helps us in our rankings. Before we continue, just listen to this song that he's going to play, and I know you guys will know who he is.
If heaven was an hour, it would be twilight. When the fireflies start their dancing on the lawn. And supper's on the stove, and mama's laughing, and everybody's working day is done. If heaven was a town, it would be my town. Oh, on a summer day in 1985. And everything I wanted was out there waiting, and everyone I loved was still alive. Don't cry a tear for me now, baby. There comes a time we all must say goodbye. And if that's what heaven's made of, you know I ain't afraid to die. If heaven was a pie, it would be cherry. So cool and sweet and heavy on the tongue. And just one bite would satisfy your hunger. It'll always be enough for everyone. If heaven was a train, it sure would be a fast one. I could take this weary traveler around the bend. If heaven was a tear, it'd be my last one. You'd be in my arms again. Don't cry a tear for me now, baby. There comes a time we all must say goodbye. And if that's what heaven's made of, you know what? I ain't afraid to die. Yeah, if that's what heaven's made of, you know what? I ain't afraid to die.
Man, that song is so touching. That is one of my favorite all-time songs of country music right there, everybody.
Thank you, Alex. I appreciate that, man. Yeah, it's a special song to me, too. I wish I could say I wrote it. I didn't write that song, but, man, it is one of the most special songs that I've ever recorded, yeah.
Oh, it's like I was saying about the being at the concert when people started singing that song. You could just see in their faces how many people that song touched. And for me, like, made me think of my grandmother who passed away, you know, years before. And it resonates with so many people in so many different – it doesn't have to be a recent loss. I mean, my grandmother passed away years before, and it just makes you think. And it's a deep song. There's no doubt. And thank you so much for it. I'm so glad that God gave you the gift to get that song out there.
Oh, man. Well, thank you. I remember hearing that song, and it was actually written for Aerosmith. The same lady, Gretchen Peters, who wrote, I don't want to close my eyes, mm-hmm. that song.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't want to fall asleep because I miss you, baby. Now, she's a piano player out of L.A., and I don't want to miss a thing. All right, so she wrote that for Steve Tyler and Aerosmith. She wrote It's Heaven for them. Somehow, I heard it before Aerosmith, and I put it on hold. Now, I've called my mama up and actually held the phone up to my little CD player. And I said, Mama, listen to the song and tell me what you think. And when I put the phone back to my ear after the song was over, and it was just her on the piano, a little demo. And my mama was crying, and she said, Andy, I've never meddled with your business. I've always let you be a man of your own when it comes to your career. I'm going to meddle one time. You record that for me. And I said, yes, ma'am, I sure will. Wow. So that's how I ended up recording It's Heaven.
Wow. Did Steven Tyler and Aerosmith ever get a chance to record it?
No, heck no, they didn't get a chance to record it. I beat them to it. Now, they heard it. From what I understand, I've never met Steven Tyler. Mm-hmm. From what I understand, Steven Tyler did hear it later and said, How in the world did that song get intercepted before I could hear it?
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
I was wondering if he left you a voicemail or something or on your message machine.
No.
You know, something a little colorful.
I met the guitar player, Joe Perry, but I've never met Steve Tyler.
Wow.
No, but yeah, somebody came back to me. I tell you who it was. It was a publicist that came back to me and said that Steve Tyler was saying, he was griping and complaining, saying, how did that song get intercepted before it could hit his ears? And, you know, I mean, I threw that topwater bait out there and hit that son of a gun and got that bass in there quick before Steven Tyler could even show up. All
right. So, Andy, I think we would be remiss, given the situation this week, with the passing of what I think is one of the biggest country music icons in the history of the business, Charlie Daniels. Did you know Charlie?
I did very well. Knew Charlie very well. Uh-huh.
What a loss this is for the country music world.
Man, it's a loss, but it's also such a gain. It was such a life. It was such a life that you know, Charlie is one with our father, and man, it's easy to get watery eyed over Charlie, but I also look at everything he's done, and I love his life. He's lived the outlaw life. I love that. You know, he's lived the outlaw life and then turned around and, you know, the second half of his life, he lived it for the Lord. And, you know, man, he went from from skull, wintergreen skull to chewing gum. He went from devil went down to Georgia to following Jesus. You know, but we even shared the same church. He went to World Outreach Church, the same church as me. So, Charlie, I rejoice with, you know, even though it's a loss for music, friendship-wise, I rejoice for Charlie, and I will see him soon. I really will. He was one of those great, 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 great pillars. He wasn't just a great guy. Like Waylon and all of them, they were great guys, but Charlie Daniels was a great pillar for the community. He was a great pillar for Nashville, and when every time crisis would arise, it would be Charlie that would arise with it and put stuff together. And his heart was one of the biggest that we've ever seen.
And he loved his country. I mean, he'd go and sing for the troops. And at his age, he still loved. He talked about that in one of his last interviews, how much he loved singing for the troops. And he was a true patriot.
Yeah, when you lose a man or a woman at that age, when they've lived the way that like Charlie's lived, man, with no regrets. Man, it's hard to cry. It really is. You just sit there smiling. I guess I say that you're smiling as you're crying. You really are, because there is no regret. That Charlie is one of those guys that has lived and fulfilled everything a man could ever want to fulfill, and then some. You know, man, you remember the way in the Bible Elisha wanted to be double Elijah?
Oh, yeah.
You know, Elisha was like, well, you know, Elijah told Elisha, said, well, what do you want? What do you want to be granted? And he goes, I want to be double the man you are. And Elijah even laughed at him. Well, to me, you know, a lot of us are Elijahs, but Charlie Daniels was an Elisha. He doubled. He doubled most men.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Wow. Fantastic.
Beautiful. I want to say this real quick. Just give you about a minute here. If you got a message you want to give to the world right now, if tomorrow was your last day, what would it be, Andy Griggs? And give us some scripture.
You know, I'm tired. I quit reading the paper. I quit watching the news. I'm tired of hate. I'm tired of bitterness. I'm tired of, you know, one person being up, getting mad at the other. You know, I would just. My whole thing, where I'm at right now, is, man, let's just all love. We're in this thing together. You know, even though my name's not Alex, and Alex's name is not Andy, we're still one spiritually. And if the Bible's taught us anything, we're one spiritually. And that's why we're supposed to forgive. That's why we're supposed to turn the other cheek. That's why we're supposed to love. That's why we're supposed to do this and that, because we're all in this thing together. Man, we're so in this thing together. And I do a show on Facebook every Monday night at 7 Central. And I do about an hour and a half show on Facebook. If anybody out there wants to join in, it's Monday nights. But, man, I talk, you know, it's mainly just me singing. But I talk about that a lot, about how we're in this thing together. And I don't like separation. I don't like division. And I will do what it takes to go against separation and go against division. I'm a one guy, because my Heavenly Father is a one guy.
We all bleed red.
Yeah. Favorite Bible scripture?
Ooh, well, Alex, that's a tough one. Depends on what day it is. Depends on what I need. Depends on what I need. Favorite right now, let's see. Today, favorite Bible scripture is, right now, it's probably be, I mean, to, like I said, every day, if you ask me that, I'd give you a different one. Do you remember in Galatians when Paul, is Galatians 4 maybe, when Paul says, you work out your own salvation? Remember that? When Paul said that, you work out your own salvation. I like that. I like that, because Paul is saying, don't take my word for it. And I think everybody needs to hear that. Don't take your pastor's word for it. You chase that son of a gun yourself. You chase that deer trail yourself. It's a deer trail. And there's scrapes and there's rubs all in your relationship with God. There's scrapes and rubs. But it's your own deer trail. And Paul is, and to me in Galatians, Paul's saying, you walk your own deer trail. You don't take your pastor's word for it. You build your own relationship. You know, so I love that. I always lean back to that. You work out your own salvation. I love that.
Yeah, I think there's some wisdom in that. Not all pastors are preaching the gospel. So
Well, even the ones that are. Yeah, even the ones that are, Alex. You know, I've been to some services where I've rolled my eyes. I know you have too, but even the ones who are preaching it, you know, preaching great stuff, don't just sit there with your sitting on your hands and that's your only bread in life. No, you chase it yourself. You work out, you know, that to me, that's what Paul's saying. If anybody's preaching the gospel, it's Paul. But Paul of all people, it's Paul saying, hey, don't just take my word for it. Man, you go check those scrapes and rubs yourself.
Wow. What do you think, Raybone, Wayne?
I think those are great words, and I think that's great advice, and also think we are out of time.
That's good.
Guys,
good
y'all are awesome. Thank you for having me on your show, and I can't wait to be on it again.
Absolutely. You're welcome anytime.
I was just going to say thank you very much for joining us on the podcast bonus segment here. And again, a reminder to everybody listening to this segment, please leave us a review if you liked what you heard. 5-star review is always appreciated. 4 is okay, but anything less than that, don't do that to us. But yeah, leave us a review. Again, we give contest stuff away all the time for people to leave us a review. You never know when it's going to be going on. To be entered, you got to leave us a review. Again, Andy, thank you very much. Alex, Mike, for Wayne. As we say here at American Roots, when your roots run deep and strong,
there's no reason to fear the wind.